Welcome, everyone. Follow, subscribe, please, if you feel it. Hello, my name is Johnny. As many of you know, if you've been listening to me for a couple of episodes now, especially if you like my content, I highly recommend the follow. I would definitely notice. I would definitely appreciate that. Today, I'd like to talk to you all about sex, sexual energy, and how these things can manifest positively, but more importantly, what proper sex education implies in our society and the positive change that can come from learning or relearning sex education from a holistic perspective. And it may be a little weird, but I'm teaching sex education today from a hypothetical perspective, or how I would teach it to a group of individuals just learning about sex for the first time, because it's my understanding that common misconceptions and negative ideologies can be traced back to adolescence. And as many of you remember, that's when you first started being curious about and learning about sex, was that period of time, maybe like sixth grade, fifth grade-ish, like when we started having these conversations in schools and what that looked like on a social level and on an institutional level. So understand that we are socialized into thinking about sex and sexual agency a certain way. Usually how our parents think about life informs our ideas regarding these things. That's not always negative, but that's not always positive. For example, I'm the first to admit that my mother raised me to think positively, but I can also freely admit that I should rethink some of the things she taught me if I hope to live a more positive way. I don't know how to explain that. If I hope to change my ideas about things to adapt to my current situation, what's going on, that's not necessarily the same as what she experienced when she was my age, and things change. And I'm also understanding my role as an individual. So I implore you all to also consider how you think about the world and how that specifically pertains to sex. So strap in as I attempt to reteach us all sex education. Now, go back with me for a time and try to think about how you felt in middle school, around 12 or 13 maybe, how fatal everything felt, embarrassing maybe, exciting, unsure, insecure, happy, anticipatory, however you felt at that time in your life. Now, imagine that you have a troubled understanding of sex in your own sexuality, or how to view your own agency and sexual boundaries. Got it? Okay. Welcome, class. I hope you enjoy our discussion today. First, some terminology to inform our conversation. Sex is the voluntary and physical contact or mental stimulation of genitals with the intent of giving or receiving pleasure between two consenting individuals. When this contact is had by oneself, we refer to it as masturbation, or the erotic stimulation of one's own genitalia with or without the goal of orgasm, achieved manually or instrumentally. Consent is the word I like to draw out for a second. Consent is that enthusiastic feeling you get when you really want to do something or eat something that you had your eye on, you know? You don't have to ask yourself if you want that thing, because everything head to toe is telling you that you do. Instinctually, it would make you happy to pursue this action or object. Sounds great, right? So it would make sense that if another individual is involved in this process of wanting, that they feel the same way you do. To cause harm to another person in order for you to feel good, especially if that harm is intentional, is more than selfish. It's assault. Sexual assault is absolutely any contact, involuntary or non-consensual, specifically pertaining to a sexual act. And it could be penetration, unwanted touching, groping, kissing, torture, or sexual contact that's not consensual of any kind. And this sounds bad because it seems as though this can be a bit confusing to watch out for in the heat of the moment if you haven't had any crash course or my crash course on sex education. But what is unmistakable in any context is rape. Rape, I know, such a harsh word, is also it's a coerced sexual act. An abuse of authority or solicitation of a person incapable of valid consent. Now, how do we tell the difference to be on either end of sexual assault is unimaginable. So how do we tell the difference between a wanted sexual interaction versus one that is negatively coerced? This leads into the main point that I would like to make to you all today, that pleasure is the partition that rests between terrific and traumatic. Pleasure, it's pretty intuitive, I would say. The desire for something you've been wanting or the pursuit of something that you see as enjoyable. And the satisfaction of this urge you feel mentally, spiritually, and physically. Everyone is different, but most people are capable of experiencing pleasure, so it helps to ask how and what is pleasurable to another person. Create this dialogue between you and this other person or persons that opens a space for them to freely express what they enjoy. Communicate with them before any sexual contact occurs with their feelings about the situation taken into account, their boundaries respected, your feelings and energy reciprocated. The idea is to listen to what they say and to pay attention to their body language. A clear, enthusiastic yes should be discernible visibly and audibly. Why the terminology? Why the jargon? Because it's important you understand the implications of these definitions to not let confusion or misinterpretation create unfavorable experiences for anyone involved. Secondly, sexual agency and practices are important to your life and health as an individual. As you grow and experience new things, you'll run into situations that require your complete understanding and application of these terms and ideas. There is a line or an area between pleasure and assault. When we don't understand consent, this line is blurred. No one deserves assault, no matter the circumstances of how the assault occurs or the physical presentation of the individual assaulted. Everyone, regardless of identity and background, deserves pleasure and to have their boundaries respected. I know this sounds ridiculously simplistic, but according to the Rape, Assault, Incest National Network, or RAIN for short, sexual assault occurs every 68 seconds, and 86,000 of these individuals are typically inmates, meaning that men are more likely to perpetrate rape. But that's a separate statistic. You're welcome to look it up yourself. A majority of these assaults do not lead to convictions, and only a small percentage of people who perpetrate assault are held accountable. Largely, this is due to what we consider assault to be, how we define assault socially and politically, and the ability to speak out against assault. So I believe that it's very important for you to understand your sexual agency so that you can better identify assault. I am someone that also believes sex of any kind should be pleasurable. It should be meaningful. It should be exciting and provoke enthusiastic engagement from all parties. And to understand consent is to understand that it can be withdrawn at any time. Not only can you change your mind at any time, but you should respect that others have this choice as well. And it goes back to pleasure and the right to such. When you understand sex positively, when you understand pleasure in a positive way, you're willing to put this into practice and you're helping to battle the culture of rape. the negative discourse regarding sex affects you specifically, because you will be in the position to assert control over your sexual well-being in the future and accept the consequences that come with making that decision. You'll also do so with less shame than those older than you, with a more clear understanding of your mind, how it affects your body, and vice versa. You have the power to think differently about sex and shape the future of sexual discourse, to transform questions like, what were they wearing? How much did they drink? Into more helpful inquiries like, did they have the necessary resources and support to help them in the situation? And what is being done to make sure that these incidents are not reoccurring? And more introspective questions like, how do I feel about my sexuality and what can I learn from past and future experiences? And I'd like to make myself clear here. I am not attempting to convince anyone to engage in sexual acts or to encroach on any personal beliefs regarding sex and sexual preparedness. Also, note and notice that I did not go into depth with talk about the essential nature of using protection, despite it playing a major role in preventing unwanted pregnancy and STIs. I just want to express and articulate the proper education on pleasure, communication, and agency are the best ways to prevent sexual assault and rape from occurring, as well as unhelpful conversations that we have regarding these issues. I understand how you may feel. Sex is confusing, but learning can be enjoyable and not incredibly aloof from emotion. It doesn't have to be some awkward video. And when you are prepared to engage in sexual acts, you can feel empowered knowing that you understand your right to pleasure and fulfillment. And it's not super fun necessarily, but you can begin by respecting the emotional and physical boundaries of others, asking if it's okay to touch another person, even if that touching is not intended to be sexual, or asking them for permission to discuss a potentially triggering topic. Even though this may seem insignificant, people feel heard, respected, and empowered and seen when their presence is taken into account. This is just something to think about. To conclude our discussion today, let's reiterate what we learned. When we understand consent, we can begin to engage in productive discussions about how to combat the nature of rape and begin to conceptualize solutions to benefit others experiencing sexual violence in different ways. As a final thought, think about how this affects you, how different settings, cultures, ages, races, and sexes are affected by sexual assault, how rape culture manifests in college settings, workplaces, social settings, immigration policies, healthcare, or online forums such as social media. It's a big issue, right? Now, understanding pleasure and consent are only a piece of the puzzle, and it won't prevent rape or sexual assault from never occurring again, but understand that it's a wonderful place to start. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope positivity follows you in the future, and I hope you follow this podcast. Thank you so much.